from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We'll talk with Paul Hamilton in a couple of moments. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Jeremy off, although he'll check in at 8. On a lot of what the Sabres did this weekend and coming up today, free agency day in the NHL. Paul Hamilton now on the Western Hotline, back from Vegas. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How was the Sphere? Was it as incredible as the video looked?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of funny because I was on with Mike Shope first a couple hours before. And I wasn't all that impressed. I was just sitting there and looking around, and it was like darkish in there. Mm-hmm. And I just told him, I said, maybe I'm hard to impress or something. And then it started. The show started. Oh, now I got it. You know, because then now all the videos and all the colors and all the bells and whistles started. And then it's like, okay, I see now what the hype is. And it was really cool. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was very cool. It's you're almost surrounded by the team that's drafting, the way they set it up.
Yeah.
They did a really, really nice job.
Yeah, and the presentation of the draft. Do you think we're going to get changes on that front? We'll get to the Sabres here in a moment, but haven't there been rumors about like decentralizing the draft where maybe they'd still have the event, but teams would be home? Like, haven't they talked about stuff like that?
I don't know if they'll still have the event, even.
Oh, okay.
You know, I had heard, you know, it seems like the teams are going to stay home. I mean, that's even Kevin Adams was talking about it, that he, you know, a lot of the teams want to stay home. That's kind of one of the reasons they're doing it. But he said he likes the draft. He likes being in a centralized location like that, and he's going to miss it. So that seems to be what all the talk is about, that more – like what the NFL has done for years, where the teams mm-hmm. are at their home base. Now, whether they would do what the NFL does now and, you know, make it a really big deal at some place for fans where some of the players are around, you know, that I don't know, but mm-hmm. it just seems like the teams aren't going to be there anymore.
Yeah, at least have, right, what the NFL feels like they kind of do now is, hey, everyone has their war rooms, at home, and then the event, it's like a big party, right? The prospects are there, the fans are there, Goodell is hugging everybody, and then they do that for the TV purposes and the event purposes. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the NHL would feel like they have the ability to do that. It's not, NFL's different, right? College football players, everyone knows. And NHL, yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know what they should do on that front.
And I've been to drafts that have been very well attended, and I've been to drafts that aren't very well attended. And the second day, now this was different this year because of where it was, but the second day you usually have almost nobody in the building.
Right.
A lot of fans show up in the first day, and then very few show up in the second day. So, you know, that, I think you're right. That much. The draft is just so much different in fans' eyes.
Yes. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. So let's get into, Paul, the Sabres weekend. And let's start on Friday, day one of the draft. They make their pick, no trade on day one. There really weren't any trades, though, in the league. And they pick Konsta Helenius, right? We're going with Helenius is the last name?
Helenius, yes, I asked him before I spoke to him. I got a chance to chat with him after he was drafted, and that was the first thing I asked him is, Helenius is how he said his name is pronounced, so that's what we're going with. And, yeah, and the thing was, there was so much talk about teams wanting to trade their pick and, you know, probably will trade their pick. And as far as somebody trading for an NHL player, it didn't happen in the whole first round. Mm-hmm. Not one team traded for a NHL player. Any trade that was made was picks for picks, moving down or moving up or something like that. So that was very, I think, disappointing from the hype that came in that, you know, teams are looking to trade, you know, their pick and for this player, for that player, and just none of it materialized. And you know, it did more in the second day, but still, you know, a guy like Nietzsche, he's still a Carolina Hurricane. You know, he's been talked about a lot, that a lot of teams have been interested, but is Carolina asking too much? Are other teams not putting in enough into their offers? Who knows? But again, that just didn't materialize.
Would you think that a deal like that would wait now until after free agency, right? Like today's not a day where you'd see trade chatter like that, right? Teams are going to try the free agent route first.
Well, you'll probably see trade chatter up till noon.
Yep.
You know, it's this, you know, like what Tampa did, and they went and traded for Gensel, and the only reason they did is that gives them exclusive negotiating rights up until noon. And it seems like I just got up talking to you guys. I haven't looked recently, but it seems like he's going to be signed, you know, by Tampa Bay before, you know, free agency starts. So, yeah, once free agency starts, the trades tend to quiet down a little bit, but you still see trades, you know, in the NHL in July and August. But the most of the trade you'll see in the off season come before the draft. Again, it was very disappointing.
All right, Paul. So what they did before we get to free agency, before they did in day two of the draft, they make a trade. They send a second round pick to Washington, Beck Malenstein, who's going to play in the bottom six. They still have to sign, right? They qualified him yesterday as an RFA.
They qualified him. Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on that trade? I feel like there's two schools of thought for me. One, I kind of can't believe he cost that much. I don't even know if I want to care about it, though, because second-round picks, just it's not really a high rate of formalizing that into an NHL player. They can hit sometimes. But also, I also want to feel like they got a player that is exactly the type of player I thought they would have acquired at some point.
Yeah, it's a guy they need. Let's put it that way. Did they overpay for him? Probably. Does it matter? No. I mean, that's one of the reasons they went and got that extra second-round pick. Kevin Adams said they went and got it with the idea they fully intend on trading it, you know, and looking for something that would help the team and improve the team. Yes, and I do think they helped and improved the team because they need players who are hard to play against, who are going to be around the net. You know, this guy led his team in hits. I remember him a lot when I was covering this, the Amherst and the Hershey Bears series. And, you know, Seth Appert told Adams that teams, guys in the AHL were afraid of him. He's right. I saw that. You know, they didn't want any part of him. You know, it's like, okay, here he comes. You know, you're looking over your shoulder a little bit and paying more attention to where he is than what you're doing on the ice. So, you know, it's the type of player that the Sabres don't have. So, you know, so is it a slight overpayment? Probably, but they have the ammunition to do that. And do you want to overpay for everybody you acquire? No, but you know, it's a guy that you needed. You need actually more than just him. You know, yeah, he's a good player, but I think they need more players like that too, not just one. And so I'm in the same way you're thinking that.
Yeah.
Did they slightly overpay for him? They did, but they can afford to. They have the ammunition. They have the prospects. They have the picks where they can go out and do that. And they still had a second-round pick by doing that. So it wasn't like you took yourself right out of the second round.
Right. I've read about his shot blocking and penalty killing too. He, ready for this stat, Paul? Hits per 60 minutes. I had a buddy send me hits per 60 minutes on Malenstein and how he is at 13 for, basically all we're doing is dividing hits by ice time. He's basically double the rate that Greenway and Gergensen's are, who led the Sabres last year. So he might be hitting twice as much as the guys that we're used to at the bottom. And I mentioned Gergensen's there also because he becomes a free agent today. Does this trade, you think, mean anything for whether he stays or goes? How do you feel that the chances are of his return entering today?
It seems like the Sabres still want him and he wants to test the market for the first time. So that's where that seems to be where that's at. Adam said they were going to have another conversation before noon today, but it just seems like he wants to test the market, and that doesn't always mean he's going to be gone. That just means he's going to see what's out there for him. As far as penalty killing, I believe he was like fifth in the league in the amount of penalty killing that he does.
So yeah.
He does a lot of penalty killing. We already mentioned he led his team in hits. So it's unfortunate. You could use a guy who takes faceoffs too, but that's not, he's a centerman. But, you know, fits a lot of the things that you'd be looking for in a bottom six guy. And that's another guy too that they should be looking for, is a guy that's similar to this, but also is much better at faceoffs than any of the Sabres, because the Sabres just are not good at that, which means they're always starting without possession of the puck. And, you know, it's a problem. It's when you start with possession of the puck, you can get things rolling, but if you always got to go back and go behind your net and then start and come the whole length of the ice, it makes it harder to create offense.
Jeff Skinner also bought out this weekend. We've talked about Skinner, Paul, but nope, no surprise. No surprise here, the way it had been sounding.
No, Adams had told us before the draft started that they had started the process, so we knew that he was going to be bought out. And it was just a matter of when it was going to happen, pretty much. The Sabres were just making sure no trades were available, and, you know, and also Skinner's camp, Adams had also said that they really had shown no willingness to really waive their no trade or their no movement clause. So, and why would they? I mean, they can double dip too. I mean, they can take what they're going to get from the Sabres and then go somewhere else and sign a contract and double dip with what they want. So there really was no incentive for the Skinner camp to waive their no movement, but it didn't matter when you did it. If you waited till the last minute or did it as soon as the period opened. So if you wanted to wait just to make sure nothing else could be worked out, there's no problem with that.
So with what they save with Skinner now, Paul, they have over $30 million in cap space. And a chunk of that will go to the guys that qualified yesterday, Luukkonen, Krebs, Malenstein, and who's the other? Joki Haru, right? A chunk will go to that. But, you know, they still probably are going to have, after all those guys get signed, maybe $20 million-ish, if I'm being, you know, a little estimation here below the cap. How aggressive do you think they'll be today with still some holes on the roster?
And a chunk will also go to Paterka, Byram, Quinn, mm-hmm. and Levi. They're the guys you have to sign next year. So, yeah, you can use some of the money you're talking about as long as it's one-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to make sure that you have money to sign those for next year. So people always forget that when they're talking about, you know, how much money the Sabres have. And you can find guys on one-year deals, you know, and sign them and use that money this year. But you do have the guys you're talking about. Actually, it's probably going to cost you more money to sign the guys next year that we're talking about than this year, you know, that we're talking about. So, you know, that's what they have to look at when they just think about how much mm-hmm. money do they have to use.
Yep. So can you see, what do you think? Do you think there's room for one big contract that they would give out? And when I say big, I mean, it doesn't have to be 7 years. Maybe it would be a three-year deal. But not, the rest might be made up with one-year deals. Or do you think that's kind of what they'll stick to, where we'll dip into free agency, but we're just we'll spend even maybe, but we're just not going to do more than one-year deals.
Yeah, and they, you know, they have money. I mean, the problem is you can go get the one guy, but then you're going to fill in with Amerks, and there are not enough Amerks to fill in the holes they have right now, the rest of them. So that's what thing you have to think about too. If you go out and spend a lot of money on one guy, well, you're basically done. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do to fill in the rest of it? Then you're going to have to find some guys with one-year deals that'll sign one-year deals and come too. And they, you know, they still have the problem of guys, do they want to come here? You know,
from the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Does Lindy Ruff alleviate some of that problem? It might, but it doesn't take it away. You know, guys that are... even guys that are, you know, you might have to sign once they get here, you know, and they might only have 1 year left on their deal, and it's a veteran guy you really want. Well, that veteran guy may be telling you, well, that's fine, we'll come play for a year, but we're not going to sign with you, you know. And then you got to maybe take a chance that the guy will fall in love with the place and really like being here once he gets here. And you know, that's a pretty dicey way to do business too. So those are the minuses that the Sabres are up against. But, you know, it's Kevin Adams' job to be able to find players and improve this hockey team. And the obstacles are the fault of the Buffalo Sabres. They created these obstacles themselves. It was those types of things I was just talking about had loosened up last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams were, or players were, saying, hey, you know, look at Buffalo, young and coming team. They came within a team point of the playoffs. They're on the rise. They're looking good. And it was, you know, more guys were talking about wanting to come to Buffalo. And then, well, they had last season. And last season killed all that because they regressed a lot. And, you know, now people are saying, or, you know, players might be thinking, well, that was a fluke a couple of years ago. Then that's, I don't want to go there. I mean, mm-hmm. look at what's happening and look at, you know, and you know,
yeah.
with what happened with the fans. I mean, and I'm not, you know, the fans can do what they want. And the fans also are dealing with a very, very long streak of not making the playoffs. But, you know, they get in a fight. The team gets in a fight with their fans, and you know, other players notice that, and other players come in here and see the fans jump on this team immediately. I mean, almost as by the time they get on the ice, first thing it goes wrong, and then they say, "Well, do I want to do that? Do I want to play in that?" Or things like that. And again, I'm just stating facts here. I'm not criticizing yeah. anybody. It's just that's the way what it happened. So. Those obstacles are there, but still, you're the GM and you're paid to make this team better, and you have to find a way around those obstacles.
Right. If one way they've kind of done that, at least there's a couple, you know, comparisons that come to mind for me. When they signed Eric Johnson, what was the first thing we heard about? It was like, oh, how close he was to Kyle Okposo going all the way back to when they were kids. And mm-hmm. when they traded for Bo Byram, it was about how close he was with Peyton Krebs and Dylan Cousins. Like, I wonder if they really are at a point where if they're making a sales pitch to a free agent today or they're trying to trade for a guy, they might need to seek out players that know people on the team already. Because if you're trying to acquire a guy who doesn't know anybody here, isn't from the area, and just looks at the team's reputation on the surface, I don't know how you're gonna how successful you're going to be in meetings. Like today, like pipe dream of the day for fans, I'm sure, is, oh, can we go get Steven Stamkos? And I'm just not dreaming about that even at all, because I don't know what your sales pitch is to him, even if you wanted him that badly.
And Steven Stamkos wants to win the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that many more years left in him. He doesn't have X amount of years to, well, we got to make the playoffs first, and once we make the playoffs, playoffs tend to be a bit of a process, and he doesn't have that, you know, if he would come to the Buffalo Sabres. So I would not think he would be interested whatsoever, even with a severe overpayment. And that's what happens when you're in the spot the Sabres are. You got to take a $6 million player and make him an $8.5 million player, for example. That's not Stamkos, but just, you know, and then 2 years later down the road or 3 years later down the road, you're regretting the contract, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what they did with Skinner when they paid him $9 million. Jason Botterill was told he has to sign him. So he went out and severely overpaid him, even for what Skinner was when he's at his best. And, you know, it's a contract they regretted and wound up buying out. And that happens a lot when it comes to free agency. So that's where they are because of the way they played last year and all the regression that we saw. And anybody that in unrestricted free agency to get him here, you're going to severely have to overpay him.
Paul Hamilton on the Wes Herr Hotline. Paul, what do you think they can't get away with not adding? Like today, like third line center, top six winger, like those are the top two, I'm assuming. Like is third line center it? Because if they don't add a winger, what would they do? Would they just kick Benson up? Would they, you know, would they trust one of the kids to do it that isn't Benson? Versus third line center, I guess it could be Krebs. I feel like they've got to add another player down the middle. There's just no way around that. It's why I've been, like, coming in this morning, the free agent, not that anyone's going to get, like, super excited by this name, but I was looking up, like, Adam Henrique's profile and his, you know, the age and everything, just as, okay, third line center, because I don't really know how you don't add that.
I would just take I would say top. They're looking for a top six forward, and it could be a top six centerman. And if you do that, then do you move Cousins to the wing? If you find that, you know, like a Casey Mittelstadt type. And the Casey Mittelstadt trade was a very good trade to make because they've needed that defenseman that they got in Byram for how long? And so you have to give up something to get something, but now you're kind of trying to get that something back that you gave up. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, quote, third line center. I'm looking more at a top six guy. If he's a centerman, fine. Let's go out and play and find out who's going to play where. Cousins have shown with Team Canada two different times how well he produces from the wing. And if you have to put him over there because you got somebody that you'd like to plug in at that position, that's fine. So, for me, you're looking at a good top six guy can really jump in and make this team better. And then, you know, you must be more difficult to play against when you get to your bottom six. And now you've gotten two guys. You know, you've got Greenway and you got Malenstein that can do that. Not enough. You got to go get more. Two guys that do that is great, but you need more. You need more guys that they just have in the prospect pool. They just have too many of the same player. Although the last two drafts, they have started to get bigger. You know, once they got past Benson in last year's draft, everybody was up over 6 foot, and they actually got a couple in 6'4 and 6'5 that you're talking about. So they have really done that in their drafts the last couple of years, gotten bigger that way, but these aren't players we're talking about right now that can help right now. And so that's the real thing that they have to do. It can't just stop with what they have now. You can't be happy, well, we got two guys that do this. You need more than that, but you also need to look at that top six guy, that veteran top six guy, which they've been trying to get since last year's trade deadline. And it seemed like they had a guy then, and he invoked his no movement, whoever that guy was. To me, that's the most important thing that they need to do.
All right, Paul, we'll see what we get today. It's kind of felt like a non-event for Sabre fans July 1st, maybe forever. I mean, we've had expectations before that they might do something. I mean, even way back when, and not much. You've had your big signings here and there. I brought up earlier the Ehrhoff contract, like what that would have been like. I don't really remember Twitter at that point in time, but I have to imagine the early Twitter seeing a 10-year contract for Ehrhoff probably exploded when the Sabres gave that deal out.
Yeah, I don't even think there was Twitter back then. When I could be wrong, but when they got a Poso, he was the number one free agent,
right?
Because Stamkos didn't make it to free agency. He was signed before free agency started, which meant a Poso. So they got the number one free agent there.
Yep.
At the time, so it's not the way to build your team. It's you don't build your team through free agency, but the Sabres have some holes they have to fill, and it doesn't seem like the trade market is there. It just seems more and more players now have no movement clauses in their contracts, and it's making it harder for teams to trade. As we said, there were no players that moved in the first round on Friday, which is usually doesn't happen that way. So, but unrestricted free agency is a very bad way to build your team because I would estimate, because you never know, you don't know what the percentage is, but in 70, I would say 70% of the time you regret the contract within 2 years.
All right, Paul, enjoy today. We'll hear from you plenty throughout the day here on the station. So we'll talk tomorrow.
And there actually, nobody really wants to hear, there is a development camp that starts today too.
Thank you for mentioning that. I had that
one
down.
One of the things is, though, practice is until 2 o'clock, and I think it's to accommodate the first 2 hours of free agency. Because development camp starts today too. So that runs, they have the 3-on-3, it culminates with the 3-on-3 tournament on July 4th, Thursday. So they will have the 3-on-3 tournament then.
Quickly on that, the roster for that, Hellenius, but not like Kulik and those guys, Roseanne wouldn't be there?
Yeah, they're starting to get away from making those guys come. It's almost like college orientation is what this is. They get taken around the city, and it's their first taste of pro hockey. The only one that surprised me was Anton Wahlberg. He wasn't, maybe because he
played with the Amerks.
Yeah, but the Amerks too were they didn't go as late into the season as they had. So that was really the only name not being there that surprised me was Wahlberg. But it's basically the last two drafts, and they're getting away from making guys like Rezan and Kulik, and they've done it already. Some of them have done a couple of these, so that's why you wouldn't see them.
Ryan Johnson, maybe he's done like four of them or five of them at this point.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, it's good to get the college players here because you can't get them to your training camp because college has already started.
Right.
So they're not at camp. So this is the only exposure they have to the Sabres. So, you know, a guy like Gavin McCarthy and Maxim Strabek, and, you know, those guys you're absolutely going to see.
Now Patrick Geary also, by the way, cousin of our buddy Nate here. Sixth round pick, Michigan State. So we'll see. He'll be college guy too.
And he will be here. Yes, he's on
the
list.
All right, sweet. Mm-hmm. All right, Paul. Appreciate the time. Enjoy practice and free agency, and we'll chat later.
Talk to you later. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline, chatting on the Sabres. It's a hockey heavy day, as we'll see what we get from free agency. Jeremy coming up at 8. He'll check in on what he thought of the weekend. He's off today, but he wants to get in on it a little bit. And then we'll have Chris Peters at 9. Flow Hockey, we had Chris on early last week to preview the draft. Now we got Chris on to tell us what he thinks of the Sabre picks. He gave them a B+. One prospect's analysis opinion, but he gave them a B+. When we come back, you know, I've got all this talk of how hard it is for the Sabres to get players to come here. So I want to throw one other idea I have in on that, on how did we get here where it's this hard for them to do this, to get good players. Ottawa, right across the border, small town, smaller than here, that has a 7-year playoff drought. They figure out a way to do this. Got a thought on that when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe, Wimbledon, soccer, hockey free agency. You got a lot this week, and then on to Bill's training camp. Stay tuned, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.